What was yours this morning? Alright, that's on. Who's glad to be here in the house of the Lord this morning? We'll just I'll just open with a word of prayer this morning and then. Dear Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, with humble hearts, Lord, and Lord, to ask you to, Lord, come amongst us, Lord, with your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, and touch each heart, Lord, and cause us to worship you, Lord, from our hearts, Lord, for you are worthy, Lord, of all praise and glory, Lord, and anything that we could offer unto you, Lord. And we just thank you for your great love, Lord, your patience for us, Lord, and your mercy, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, or I pray, Lord, a blessing upon the congregation, Lord, and Lord, help for myself, Lord, to just have the liberty to worship you this morning, Lord. And a special prayer for Brother Howard, Lord, that you would anoint him, Lord, and give him the word that you would have for us this morning. We just thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Should we just stand and sing number 49, Everybody Ought to Know? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell what Jesus did. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell what Jesus did. Thank you.
Lazarus is you.
Love him for it this morning. And let's sing 58, As I Walk the Load of Rife.
As I walk, as I walk the road of life, my feet go weary. As I spurn the fingers of and shifting sand, but I never have a fear about tomorrow, or I'm there by the Master's hand.
Last mile, Remember that last mile, because it'll be the last one.
That's right.
I can't wait to climb that last mile.
Oh, yes. Amen, brother.
Let's sing number 282, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. Sang number 298. It was early in the morning. It was early in the morning by the ancient miles of men. Hades' dog rests his camel train. He had found a bride for Isaac, he had found Rebekah's faith, and his wordy journey had not been in vain. So get ready, evening shadows fall, catch your head, the enemies are cold. There is going to be a wedding, our joy will soon begin. The blessed Holy Spirit from the Father God above has come down to earth to claim his worthy bride. And now Isaac over yonder has prepared his tent of fun, and he wants his dear Rebecca by his side. So get ready, evening shadows. Going to be a wedding, our joy will soon begin. The evening when the camel train comes in, we have left our kinfolk plenty, we have bid the world goodbye. We are going to the land beyond the sea. We shall soon behold our eyes. I was wondering if there was any items this morning. We'll sing one more. I'm not too sure if we know how to sing this song. I have no idea. Number 308.
We have heard a joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tide. All around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hail the new, every land, climb the steeps and cross the way. Onward, the Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Walks it on.
Was there any items this morning? Well, Sister Pauline's getting an item. I was just wondering if there was any prayer requests as well. There was none on the internet. None in the audience. Any unspoken? Is he still there, is he?
He's still here, yeah. He said to remember them.
Just remember them as well. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Pauline. We certainly appreciate the items. If there's no other prayer requests, we'll just bow our heads and ask the Lord for these. Dear Lord, we just come before you, Lord, with needs, Lord, and supplications, Lord, and Lord, we just pray for Brother Morris and the fellowship in Auckland at this time, Lord, this morning as they will probably be gathering, Lord. I just pray that you would be amongst them, Lord, and by your sweet spirit, Lord, and just be with Brother Morris, Lord, if he's speaking this morning, Lord, just anoint him at this time, Lord, and Lord, for Brother Peter's unspoken request, Lord, we just bring that before you, Lord, and I just pray for every request, Lord, that's held on the hearts of the people, Lord. We might not say anything, Lord, but there's no doubt many requests, Lord, and Lord, even for our families, Lord, we just hold them before you this morning, Lord, and I just remember Brother Brad, Lord, and Thaddeus this morning with his young family, Lord, I just pray that you would be with them, Lord, and keep them, Lord, and even for Marcus and Tony and Lord, and their new house, Lord, I just pray for them, Lord, and we just say thank you for answered prayer, Lord, for you have answered many prayer, Lord, and we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll just sing one more, number 97, Cause Me to Come.
Good to see so many happy faces this morning. We are happy. If you only knew how big God is and what He can do for you. God can handle your situation. Don't ever believe anything else. And I was just waiting on the Lord this morning, and I just saw David says, when I consider the stars and the works of thy fingers. And I started to think about the stars, and I started to think about the planetary systems that God controls, everything. And you know, we live in a big world. Who believes we live in a big world? If you don't believe in a big world, just go around the world once. Travel for 24 hours at 1,000 miles an hour, and you're just going around the world. That's just the world. They claim that this planet can be placed into our sun 1,000,000 times. 1,000,000 Earths will fit in the sun. That's great, isn't it? Listen to this. They have another planet or star that can take our sun over 9 billion times. That's getting very big. You haven't got it, have you? Nor have I. It's not possible to understand that planet that takes our sun, which has 1,000,000 worlds in, our worlds in the sun, and that sun can go 9 billion, not million, 9 billion times into the star. And God controls it every day. So what are you worrying about? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Hallelujah. Who loves the Lord? He's a mighty God. You know, we just praise Him anyway because we don't work out how He does it, but He knows what to do. And He's big. And you know, Brother Branham said one time, he said, what are you people worrying about? Come on. Don't be ridiculous. We serve a mighty God. He's big. And then I said to June this morning, He condescended. In other words, God shrunk. This enormous God which we cannot measure just shrunk right down into a little man. And He came and died for us. And now He comes and He lives in our heart. He gets smaller. He can live in your heart if you'll let Him. It's really wonderful. Well, I just praise the Lord this morning for His goodness to us. I'm not using notes. I mean, not notes. I'm not trying to remember what I'm going to say. But we had a wonderful time up in Auckland. It was the hand of God. It turned out a lot better than I expected. But I just want to say this first, that Brother Morris Tafatu asked me to convey his love in Christ to you, as well as Brother Chris Lagaluga, who actually, Brother Lagaluga, Brother Chris, and his wife, Sister Mally, God bless you this morning. They'll be listening to us right now, live from Australia. Do you know they get up early in the morning to hear our services? Now, we're hearing this all the time coming in. You are a part of a greater congregation of God's people. We should rejoice. Who loves them? Amen. Amen. They're our brothers and sisters we're going to spend eternity with. So God bless you, Brother Chris, Sister Mally. And we appreciate you joining with us. And may God bless you and lead you in the days to come there in... Name the town? Sejuna, which is about 8 hours from Adelaide in the Wops. I think it's about a 2,000 population. What a lovely place to live. So quiet. But they said it's very hot there. And Brother Chris said when they got there, they just lay down on the floor. They were so exhausted from packing up and it was very hot. So God bless you, Brother Chris, Sister Mally, and the family. The girls went over there too. May God guide you and direct you. So we just praise the Lord for that. And we went up to Auckland, and just very briefly, we met the Tongan pastor. Well, he's actually more than just a Tongan pastor. He's a Tongan Niuean pastor, but he speaks both languages. But in actual fact, he's a Tongan. And he's the brother of Brother Nathan in Niue, who I know very well. And we went into the Kohai Intermediate School Hall, which is, you know, a big, assembly hall, a stage and all. And they had their services there. Quite a number came, probably about 80 to 100, I would guess. I'm only guessing, I'm not very good at that sort of thing. But there's a lot of people there. They sang very well, and we were there, and they asked me to play the piano, which was a Yamaha Grand. So I felt very, very at home, because it was just been like at home. It wasn't black, it was a more wooden colour, but it was a nice piano, and I enjoyed played some songs, and the brethren sang, and the Vi family sang, and others joined in, and it was just all good. And that was really quite a wonderful time. And so the time came for us to preach, and I just preached about being ready, the need to be ready. For the coming of the Lord is any day now, I would say. It could happen at any moment, and it would be too early if you came this week. So I'm just encouraging you to really get close to God. And we had a real liberty, and the people received very well. We had about six pastors there as well, and we just preached at liberty, and it was very good. I really enjoyed being there, and the Lord came down. I asked for anybody wanted prayer. We had about 60 come forward. I thought, boy, I love mass prayers. Just hit them in one shot. But they all wanted me to pray for them. And the brothers came around, they all prayed with me. And it was a real touch of people, ministers coming up and saying, I want to get back to my first love. And those sort of things. And I just really, really blessed to see the Lord touch people. At the end of the service, we had a luncheon. I've never seen tables and chairs cleared so fast. And all the food was put out for everybody. And I was talking to different ones. They came around, expressed their appreciation. And there's a young sister there. She looks after youth. Can't remember her name. Oh, do you remember her name, June? Julie? Julia. Very nice sister. Actually, I meant to bring some photos to put on the screen. Now they've got a really good screen, so we could show some really good shots. But she came up to me. She said, Pastor, she said, and tears running down her cheeks. Very sincere, she said to me, Brother, when you were preaching, she said, I couldn't stop crying. Is is that all right? She couldn't stop crying. She said, sister, it's wonderful when everyone starts crying because God's dealing with them. It's nothing to do with me. It's God dealing with you. She said, well, I've been seeking for a while now a closer walk with God. Well, I said, he's been very good to you. And don't you despise that. And don't you let anyone put you off. You just reach out to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? She said, I can't stop crying. Is that all right? It was a really good time, I tell you. And the Brother Morris was there, and he was a blessing to people too, and it was just a really good time of fellowship we had. It's just one really interesting thing. When Brother Pessa arrived at the place, the brother who's the pastor of, or taken over the, or is the pastor of Brother Chris Lagaluga's fellowship now that he's gone, and he knew this brother that came. He knew Brother Pessa when he came around the corner. He said, I know that man. He was in the village in Tonga, the same village. He knew his father and all his brothers. Pessa's got a lot of brothers, and they're all the same. He said, it's just really amazing. So they gabbled for some time in Tongan and shared a lot of things. It was really just a really nice time they had. So at the end of the luncheon, people came up and testified very briefly. An old lady came up in a dress and a big hat and everything. And she was very sincere. You don't go off what people look like. But she was a Niuean lady, and she just said, we have had a wonderful time here. This has been God visiting us. And she shared her heart and are very desirous for us to go back, which we will, Lord willing, to have a combined meeting with the Niueans and the Tongans together. We didn't have that. There's a Tongan service in the afternoon, or evening rather, which we didn't go to, but next time they're going to do something together. And Brother Morris was telling me that lady that got up and spoke with a hat and everything and pouring her heart out. She's an elderly lady. Well, you know, she's, I don't know how old she was. Maybe 70. He said that lady smoked like a chimney, drank like you don't know what. She had a total deliverance by God. And she's serving God. She was a wild lady, but God got a hold of her. And God can get a hold of us. When we're wild, God can get a hold of us and changes in here. If we change on the inside, then we change on the outside. We act differently, think differently, do differently. It's just a wonderful thing to have the Lord to come and do that. So praise the Lord. And thank you for your prayers. I really thank you, Brother Bill Hughes, that are listening online now. God bless you, Brother Bill and family. As we speak, Bill brought a really wonderful message. Who knows what it was?
God is a very present help in trouble.
Excellent. Top marks. Brother Bill, somebody got the answer right. God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And the reason I know it's good, because I put it up on the net, I started listening a little bit. I couldn't stop listening. I just kept listening. So encouraging. And I just thank the Lord for that, Brother Bill. I've already told you about it, but I just want to say thank you, Lord, for allowing Brother Bill to be used. So we need one another. Who believes we need one another? We need the Holy Ghost and the love of God to be poured out in our hearts. So may God bless us this morning for a few moments as we come around His Word. And I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's Word from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. My son Thomas has done a new program for this. Now, it's pretty good, but I think it's even bigger. So that'll be up next week. Thank you, Tom. It reads, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. And he said, the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth, he was angry, and swear, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Terrible. Save Caleb. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He has wholly followed the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us just pray. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us the true interpretation, the true meaning behind what we have just read, Lord. I pray that we'll not get distracted, but we'll keep our hearts and minds focused this morning on what you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I've entitled this, Because He Hath Wholly Followed the Lord. I tell you, brothers and sisters, when I first read that the other day, it blessed my soul. He hath wholly followed the Lord. You can follow the Lord. Oh, yes, but you have to wholly follow Him, completely follow Him. And here God is expressing, I believe, a very deep sentiment. God is wanting us to wholly follow Him. Especially in this last hour we're living in. For those planning to be in the promised land will wholly follow the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know whether I wasn't here when Billy Graham died, was I? No, it was last week. Brother Branham was shown by the Holy Spirit the two angels that went down into Sodom. And one was Billy Graham, and the other one was Oral Roberts. And of course, the messenger up on the hill to Abraham, we believe, was the Elijah, the Son of Man ministry coming down. Now, I want to say this, that when those two angels left Sodom, they went out. Fire and brimstone fell on Sodom. I want to say that we're right at the verge of divine judgment. God has taken His three messengers, His prophet, His two angel messengers have been taken. All the different function, different ministry, but to get the people. We know what happened in Sodom. None came out except Lot and his wife and his daughters and his wife. She turned back, because she was not following wholly after the Lord. So I just want to say that these things are very challenging to me. I don't take them lightly. That's a warning to us all. If he comes tomorrow, we can't say, oh my, oh why? Because it's well overdue. We're overdue for his coming. The judgment is pending for this world. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will awaken us. He said to the folks in Auckland to be ready for an hour when you think not, Jesus said, He'll come. We cannot be in dream world. We cannot just be drifting along with our life, doing what we want to do. We've got to be close to God. We've got to be more dedicated to Him and follow wholly after Him, not just in church, all the time. Our minds and thoughts are upon Him. We should follow wholly after Him. So we see God is expressing this sentiment that He's wanting us to follow wholly after Him. For those planning to be in the promised land, which we believe is the coming of the Lord, the rapture, which I believe is at hand, will follow, wholly follow the Lord. Now, the story of Israel is not just a story. The story of Israel is for you and I. Jesus said so. It's written in the Bible for you. I'll prove it to you. Actually, not 2,000 years ago or 100 years ago. It's for this age. It was given. So this was a great tragedy because there was a great expectation in the hearts of the children of Israel. For 400 years, they had prayed and begged that God would send a deliverer. They prayed every morning, God send the deliverer. God send the deliverer and some would die. Next age, generation come up. God send a deliverer. So they were under expectation for God to fulfill his word because he had promised that they would sojourn in Egypt for 400 years and then God would send a deliverer. God prophesies that it's going to come to pass, brother and sister. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming. Who believes he's coming? Amen. He's coming here because the signs are here. We don't have to be very spiritual to see that we are in the hours of his coming. Amen. So this should be a very sobering warning to us all. So why should it be a warning to us? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We go to verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's now. It's written for those at the end of the world, those at the end times, it's written for you, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So brother and sister, it's very clear here, Paul's speaking to us, that these are examples, they're written for our admonition, our instruction. Don't get caught in the same snare, Laodicea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Do we realize that Israel was a chosen people? Do we also realize that this was a move of God, that they're packing up their tents and everything, and they've got all things together, and their goats and their sheep and their cattle and their bread bowls and everything for kneading? The Bible says so. How many in that church? 200? 2.5 million people went out of Egypt with all that gear on them. This was a major move of God. They had seen the signs and wonders. They knew God was with them. God had sent them down a prophet. Signs and wonders they could not deny. They saw all these things happening. So Israel was thinking, they will not fail. We've got God on our side. We've got the pillar of fire leading us by night and the cloud by day. And we've got a prophet of God. And we see God's power amongst us. Now finally heading for the promised land. It's looking really good. The testimony looks really wonderful. 2.5 million souls who have been waiting 400 years through prayer and fasting, probably many of them. There was a great excitement and expectation. They were free from the world, free from the taskmaster's whip. For Egypt represents the world, and they were coming out of it. So we can fully see the comparisons with our day. Let us all take heed to the grace of God to show us each one what the Word of God is telling us for our example. Now, brothers and sisters, they followed Christ for a season. This is a terrible tragedy. People come to church. People act like Christians. They do everything that's right and it's good for a season. I know it. I've seen this church fall to the back. Where are they all? Okay, many have died, right. The Liam Barbara knows, Mrs. Merle knows. So surely we've seen a lot more people here. Where are they? Have they gone to better places, better churches? No. They've fallen out. They're going on to other things. So this is where we all need to be careful. I cannot overemphasize this point this morning. Something went very wrong with the children of Israel on their way. These people were singing, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. This to me, they were doing cartwheels and they were happy and they were rejoicing because God was leading them out of Egypt. This is a great moment. We're leaving Egypt. We're leaving Egypt. Look really good. Encouraging one another on the way, but something went wrong. They were running fine with great expectation and confidence. But their walk was not a picnic, and neither is yours. Do you agree with me? Say amen. Amen. Our walk is not a picnic where you sit back and relax and you don't have to do anything. This is not a picnic. We're in a warfare. We're walking a rugged road. And we're all finding it rugged. Who's finding it rugged? Well, all hands. You know why? We're here. This is the end time. It said it'd be this way, but God's going to take us through. And it says in Galatians 5, verse 7. Shall we read that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Paul says, you did run well. You did come out of Egypt. What did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. Oh. These things speak to me, brother and sister. What did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What God's told you to do and you refuse to do it. Stubborn. Lazy. Sluggish. Slothful. I know what I'm talking about because that's where I've been. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Doesn't come from the Lord. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Notice how he drops that in there. On their journey, Israel began to murmur. Now that murmur is a shocking word. Murmuring, complaining. We can see that in verse 10. It did not appear that serious. Murmuring in their tents. Oh, what's Moses bringing? What's Moses doing here? What's he bringing us out of here for? I'm tired. I'm weary. I've had enough of this. They weren't like that when they left Egypt. They had the joy of the Lord. Praise God, I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I'm ready to be used of God. Now what is it? Everyone's going to sleep on the job. This is what he says. They started to murmur in their tents and hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. That's what it says. You can read that in Psalm 106:24. They despise the pleasant land. Oh, that's terrible. They believe not his word. I believe his word. Who believes it? You really believe it? Raise your hand. I believe God's word. So we need to sit up and take notice. We've got demons flying around this place. I'm telling you, in the world, it's really rough out there. Brother and sister, you've got to be all on for God or you're going under. I'm telling you this because I love you. God told me to me because he loves me. And we see that that's what happened. They started murmuring in their tents. It went from a prayer meeting to a murmuring time. Oh, I'm not happy with this. I don't like the way that's done. No prayer, just murmuring. And hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. the thing that God's telling you to do. Israel did not come out openly. They just murmured behind doors. God can hear behind doors. And he can see deep into hearts. As the word says, he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God only has one vision, not for your pretty dress, not for the nice car you're driving or your lovely home. He's not looking at that. He has one vision. He has a vision for hearts. And God's looking at your heart. Know what's been conjured in there, planned in the heart. And so we come to this next question of consequences. Who knows what a consequence is? Everything has a consequence. You know, it's everything in life has a consequence. And it's coming. You'll not escape. There'll be good consequences and there'll be bad ones. So brothers and sisters, I want to speak about consequences for Israel. There's always a consequence, or we'd say outcomes, for our actions. Always remember this. We reap what we sow. Whatever you sow, that's what you'll reap. If you sow bitterness, you'll become bitter. And you'll get bitterness come back at you. If you seek negativity, or you start speaking about things you shouldn't be speaking about, you will get it back on you. You will. Thus saith the Lord. Let's turn to Job 4, 8. See what it says here. Job 4, chapter 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. You reap what you sow. If that's what you're doing, you'll get it back, brother and sister. If you sow love, you'll get love back to you. People say, nobody loves me. Listen, you know how to get love? Brother Bram said this. You know how to get love back? Start loving people. If you want people to treat you right, you treat them right. It's very true. It's just a fundamental fact of life. And we're learning every day, aren't we? So Israel stopped following after the Lord. This is a terrible thing. The consequences, to put it mildly, were horrific. The consequences of Israel were horrific. Brother and sister, can we grasp the population of New Zealand moving out towards the Lord and all missing him? Why? Was God made a mistake? No, God hadn't made a mistake. God had given everything they had need of. He gave them the ministry. He gave them the signs and wonders. He gave them the food and the clothes on their back. He blessed them and he watched over them. He kept them every day and he led them by a pillar of fire, and they still missed it. Something wrong. But Jesus said, watch, this example is for you, to those who are at the end of the earth, in the days of the coming of the Lord. You're going to need this to listen to. You might think, oh, Brother Howard, you just preached that. That's right. We'll preach it anyway. What you do with it is entirely your business. I said to the people in Auckland, I'm responsible for what I'm saying. And you are very responsible for what you do with it. If you throw it out the door, that's fine. That's between you and God. But it'll be spoken because it's God's word. After all the preparations and all their expectations, maybe they wrote books about it. Maybe kids were having games about it. We're leaving Egypt. We're going to the promised land. And it was just the talk, their table talk, as it were, every day. But you know what? They failed to enter the promised land. Brother and sister, we read in the Bible, we hear about it, we see the films about it. But the consequences were very bad. Very sad indeed. Very sad. Pray to God that none of us will fall prey to the neglect of His word. Out of 2.5 million people coming out of Egypt, only 2 from the original Exodus crossed over. And for those under the age of 20, because they were not held accountable because of their age. However, we want to speak this morning about those who wholly follow the Lord. Brother and sister, I just want to say it like this. It's too late in the day to not wholly follow the Lord. You can't half go along with God. You can't half follow the Lord. You're either going to have to get in or get out. Because God's coming for a bride. Who wants to be in that rapture? Oh, brother and sister, I know you do. I can tell by the your voice, you want to be there. You want to be there. Now, the rewards are enormous. The amazing reality is that of the 2.5 million, they could have all experienced the same thing. The Bible says they died and rotted in the wilderness for 40 years because they rejected the word of the Lord that was given to them. After God had blessed them, He'd saved them out of Egypt. He'd given them food. He'd given them everything. They refused to wholly follow the Lord. And to cap on that statement, all those in the sound of my voice can cross over to the promised land. Isn't that wonderful, Sister Shirley? We're going, aren't we? We're going there. It's not because of our goodness or what things we have done, but because we want to wholly follow Him. Whatever God's doing, I want to be there. If God's in the meeting, I want to be in that meeting. I just want to be where God's moving. Who wants to be where God's moving? Brother and sister, we've got to really shake ourselves like Samson. He shook himself. He said, God, where is thy anointing? He said, I went out and shook myself, and he wanted the anointing and wist not. In other words, he knew not that God had departed. Who was he? A judge of Israel. Brother and sister, it can happen to any one of us, preachers and all. Watch your step. Don't just take for granted that God's going to always be with you. He'll always have that anointing upon you. You've got to shake yourself. And he knew not God had departed from him. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. Who believes it's serious? It's your soul at stake. So I take it serious. I'm not just saying this to you. This is what I pray in my prayer room. God, I want to be right in every way. I want to follow wholly after you. So we have the good news that all of us can be there. There's nothing to stop you. God's not holding anyone back. You can all be in that promised land. You can all be in that rapture. You can all be taken to be with the Lord if you just love Him and serve Him and obey His word. That's all you got to do. They couldn't do it. But we're believing. Now, there's only 2 brothers who made it from the original Exodus. Oh, that's terrible. After God sending everything down to Egypt and the prophet and the signs and the wonders, and he conquered Pharaoh and he opened the Red Sea for them. And you know, you don't see seas being opened very often. It's not a common thing. No one's seen a sea open in front of you supernaturally. But they did. They saw the pillar of fire at night. They saw the cloud by day. God was right there. I've always said, you know, if I saw the pillar of fire, Brother Lee, I'd get my tent and I'd go and pitch it right underneath it. Here we go. Put the pigs in here. Oh, you're right. Who wants to put your tent under the pillar of fire? We want God to be there, Brother Paul. Do you want it? Oh, never mind. Sorry, Brother Paul. We want to pitch our tent under the pillar of fire. I want to get as close to God as I can. And I believe God is here this morning. Who believes He's here this morning? I tell you, when I saw the Spirit of God move on the people in Auckland, I was very grateful. You can just see the response and the receiving of the word of God. It's really good. We want to get close to him as we can. The two brothers made it from the original Exodus, Joshua and Caleb. And both these followed hard after the Lord. And God said concerning Caleb, I give the land that ye have trodden upon. You want possession in your life? You want your prayers answered? You want to lay down your request before God and you take the land? The Bible says if you follow wholly after him, wherever you walk, you'll possess the land. Footsteps is possession. I'm accepting in the name. I want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I want healing for my body. I'm going to get it for my body. I'm believing for these things. We have to. We've got to be serious. We've got to buckle up our armor. The Bible talks about armor, putting on our armor, not going for a picnic. We are in a warfare. We've got to claim the promises of God. We've got to say, Lord, we're going all the way with you. Hallelujah. I believe it. I'm not going to mess around anymore, Lord. I'm going to follow wholly after the Lord. Oh, it's just so wonderful. So the rewards were tremendous. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. Let's just read that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Just got finished, so you can relax now. Just about through. But the message is still true and still important. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. God has rewards. He's a rewarder of them that seek him. There it is, sister. You read it? It says, I'm talking to you. Yeah. God is a rewarder of those that not seek him. Those that diligently seek the Lord. That's the key. That's the key. Brother and sister, if you want the Holy Ghost, you go and seek him diligently. You will get it. Not may do. He's already given it to you. It's a gift of God. All you have to do is claim it. I'm coming to stake my claim. Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to be in that rapture. You want to be in the rapture? You need to have the Holy Ghost. We've been through the whole series recently. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, either he is Lord of our life or other things are. You can't have two lords. You can't say this is my Lord and this is my Lord. No, you'll have one or the other. Lord is full ownership. He owns you. He owns your thoughts. He owns your desires. He owns your motivation. He owns all these things if he's Lord. I want him to be Lord of my life. You want him to be Lord? Say, Lord, I want you to be Lord. Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. We cannot have both. It will never work. For the Bible says, if you have one, not the other, he said, you'll either love one and hate the other, or it'll just be a contradiction. There'll be a conflict going on all the time in your life. Continuously. You come to church, I want to serve God. You get home and you have things drawing you away, passions. I want to do this. I want to, and you forget God. We all are all familiar with these wonderful promises. But to make it truly effective, it takes more than quoting them. It takes more than hearing them. But we become doers of the word of God. Some will say, I've tried to follow after the Lord. Well, the scripture tells us this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Brother and sister, when you pray, God's going to answer your prayer. Who believes that? Say amen. He will. When you pray, he's going to answer your prayer. Got a testimony. You might laugh at this, but I'll testify about my comb. This is all about my comb. But it could be about my house. It could be about my car. It doesn't matter what it is. That comb which I have all the time, and I watch over it daily, because it fits in my pocket, I'm equipped, I'm armed. Wherever I go, I can just go, you know. No matter where I am, I've always got it. And the other thing is, all listening, you can't get them anymore. You try. You say, I know where they are. Oh, yes, little brittle things that snap like that and they'll fall on the floor. Or they've got long things on them. I've been to every shop, the chemist shops, everybody. Even the warehouse, I said, we can't get them. We've tried. I lost it the other day. Oh, not my comb, my only comb. And so I started doing my hair with my brush. You can't take a big brush in your pocket, especially when you're travelling. So I got on my knees and said, Lord Jesus, you know where this comb is. I don't know where it is. I have no idea. I went to every drawer, every box, everything in my suitcase, everywhere I could possibly think. I could not find my comb. But I had prayed. God answers prayer. You mightn't think he does. He does. Do you know God hears every prayer you pray? You don't have to see a light or a pillar of fire or shake a bit. When you pray, get out on your knees and pray, God hears you. Even if you believe not. And sometimes he can step in and help your unbelief. One of the disciples said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see, brother and sister, so I prayed and I looked everywhere. I couldn't find it. I looked in the car, looked down every little, you name it. I could not find this one and only comb. And anyway, I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you anyway. I had to wait one day, waited 2 days, waited 3 days. And Brother Paul came over. He came to collect grass out of the shed here. So he backed up his trailer under that carport on the concrete. We loaded it, looked down, there was my comb. I said, thank you, Lord. That may seem nothing to you, but God found my comb. Who believes that? Of course he does. He wants to see if you trust him and believe him. You say, I got prayed for, I didn't feel any different. Trust him. Amen. Just keep trusting God no matter what the situation, what people say. Just say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what care means? Who knows what cares means? Translation, anxiety. Cast all your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. And brother and sister, I just want to tell you that God answers prayer. And he says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That was the difference between Caleb and the rest. The other 2 million, that was the difference. He wholly followed the Lord. He may not have been a perfect guy. I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure he had lots of mistakes. God's not talking about mistakes. God's talking about you following him wholly after him. And everywhere in the Word of God, this half-hearted walk, you'll see it. The 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins is a prime example again. Half missed crossing into the rapture. Half. You say, oh, they're unbelievers. No, sorry, they were believers. They all went out with the trim there, waiting for their Lord to come, their bridegroom, to go on the bride, to be a part of the bride, to go on the rapture. And half were left behind. They didn't follow after the Lord. Some people go to church and they preach and they sing and they used of God and all those things. But brother and sister, you've got to be following him wholly. Because he has followed wholly after the Lord. And the foolish virgins, were left out. They couldn't understand it. Why? Why was the door shut? I was expecting to go on the rapture, and just my wife went, or my husband went, or somebody else went, but Lord, why? Why? I've been serving you. Now think of this, brothers, and think of the seriousness. We need to sober up. We need to awaken and realize what I'm saying. It could happen next week. They questioned God. Let's turn to it. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, oh Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What has God told you to do this week? Have you done it yet? You know what it was, not for me to know. And he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name then he done many wonderful works. And then he says in verse 23, and then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now my father always said this. Who knows what iniquity is? I wonder how many people know iniquity is. You say, oh, it's sin. Well, it's a bit more than that. I call it, iniquity is a believer's sin. God tells you and shows you what to do, and you refuse to do it. That is iniquity. An iniquitous person is really a disobedient one. When you've been shown what to do and you refuse to do it, that is iniquity. And Jesus said, that's what he said to them. I never knew you, depart from me that work iniquity. The children of Israel all knew what to do. They had to cross over. They said, oh no, we want to go back to Egypt. I like the bread over there. It's lovely garlic bread. I like the onions. I like this. I like that. God let them rot in the wilderness. And he'll do the same with this generation. Brothers and sisters, don't miss the rapture. Don't miss that great coming. Don't miss that Exodus. Listen, it's for you this morning. It's for us this morning. It's yours, it's mine. I'm going to be there. Lee says he's going to be there. That's two. Diane, who? Barbara, Pauline, who else is going to be there? Brother Brian, I can see you, Brother Brian. I'm going to be there. Brother Peter, you're going to be there. By the grace of God, we're going to be there. But we must show God that we really are sincere. We really mean it. And we walk holy with him. Not just one Sunday morning. No. Every day of the week, as we're walking down the street, we're thinking about the Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you. I love that little bird, Lord. I see that little bird and I see you in him. You've got to have eyes for God. He's everywhere, brother and sister. So as we close, we can see our whole walk is a love affair. It's not a duty. Thou shalt. It's, Lord, I love you. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do them. Do what I've told you to do. That's the ones that are going to be in the rapture. They are the ones that are going to cross over to the promised land. If we have anything, something more precious than our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, then how can we expect to be at the wedding supper? If there's something that excels your love for Christ, then how are we going to expect to be at the wedding supper? Because it's a wedding supper. In line with our subject, how are we going to be permitted to cross into the promised land? Now, if a man sees his woman is not committed fully to him. He sees things all the time. She's not fully committed to him. He will have no confidence to marry her. He just doesn't have the confidence. Just left him. He wants someone that's real. Someone that really loves him. And so does the Lord. To be his bride, you've got to be really in love with him and walk wholly with him, not with something else. That's exactly the situation. As the Bible says in Ephesians 5:30, as we close this time, For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Not Howard and the Lord. Howard and the Lord are one. His life is in me. I have the mind of Christ, and for you too, I'm talking about, all of us. That's what God wants. This is a great mystery, Paul says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He likens a man and a woman, one that's really committed, walking wholly with him, to be his bride. May the Lord help us all wholly to follow after him this morning. Don't walk out this door and say, oh, yeah, good. What's he going to preach next week? Don't do that. If God's spoken to you, take it on board. This may be your last opportunity. Time's running out for the wedding supper. I can hear the clinking of the glasses. And I can hear the cutlery and everything. The tables are set. The chairs are set. The Lord's going to come down and pick up his bride, those that are wholly following the Lord. And he's going to take us into that promised land. By his grace and by his mercy. Nothing we have done. Now listen, brother and sister, as I close, I say this. We're not talking about how good you are, how you live a perfect life and you do all things right. That's not. God says, oh, that's very nice, yeah. You can find lots of people like that. But he's looking at our heart. Lord, I want to wholly follow you. All the way. I may fall, I may stumble. Get up again. Keep going. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for everything in your word. I want to reach that rapture. I want to be in that rapture. It's the greatest thing in this world. It's the greatest thing that's about to happen. This world's finished, we know. There's nothing left for us. So be sincere, be reverent, be respectful to the things of God. Be respectful to one another and follow wholly after him. Praise the Lord. Do you love him? Well, let's just stand to our feet, shall we? Pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We come to you this morning, Lord. And you can see my heart, Lord. You know all about it. I'm so glad you do. You are a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know how this word has been received by every person. I cannot force it upon anybody, neither do I want to. But Lord Jesus, I'm praying that we will all, from this day, get a bit more serious about our walk with you and follow wholly after the Lord. Oh Lord, I love you. I just want more of thee. I'm praying, Lord, you'll come down upon us, Lord. You'll fill this fellowship with the power of God and shake us through. From me, Lord, right through. We need it, Lord. I ask this blessing in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless each one that's here, Lord, and those that are listening. Wherever they are, may you bless them and keep them too, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. There's a beautiful song. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's in the Bible. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, good time you'll answer my plea. He'll answer you. sing it, "Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus" to me as we go our way, brother. Can you like to close in prayer?
Wonderful, wonderful Jesus.
Lord, I just thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would show us those things, Lord, that we need to do, Lord, that you have asked us to, Lord. And Lord, you said the feet of the righteous, Lord, are ordered by yourself, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, that you will bring us along the way, Lord, and show us what we must do. We thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Oh, and just pray, Lord, a blessing upon the food as well as we have it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dismissed.